Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Should it ever come as a surprise when we suffer for righteousness' sake? Jesus predicted that his followers were to be persecuted because of their commitment to his kingdom. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. John 15:20. Our Lord even pronounced a blessing on those who endure to the end. Revelation 2:10. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:11-12. Suffering for righteousness' sake certainly seems inevitable for the faithful in Jesus Christ. But how could Jesus instruct his disciples to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad? From a purely human viewpoint, suffering does not seem to be an occasion for rejoicing. Unless, of course, one is a masochist. That is, one who experiences some kind of perverted pleasure from suffering. Yet both Peter and Paul counted it an honor to suffer for their Lord. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 1 Peter 3:14. Paul referred to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. Then he wrote of his sufferings, who, that is Paul, now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Colossians 1:24. Paul certainly does not mean that he sought occasions when he could invite suffering. Like all other human beings, Paul experienced pain when he was struck with rocks, or someone spat on him, or they conspired to kill him. He did not want to suffer any more than Jesus wanted to have a crown of thorns on his brow, or to have nails driven through his hand. But Paul was honored to be counted worthy to suffer for the one who suffered and died for his sins. Paul's suffering, in some way, was connected with his service to the church at Colossae. I do not know exactly what it was, but it related to Paul's work with the church at Colossae, although he had never actually seen the Christians in that city. Paul used a rather strange expression when he told the Colossians that he would fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in his flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Does Paul mean that Christ's sufferings were inadequate in some way, and that he completed what Jesus had failed in some way to do? You know without any doubt Paul did not mean that. Christ's death on the cross was sufficient to remove the sins of the whole world. On one occasion, John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching and said to his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Dr. A.T. Robertson's great set of Greek word studies, word pictures of the New Testament, explains, it is now Paul's turn at bat. To use a baseball figure, Christ had his turn, the grandest of all, and suffered for us in a sense not true of anyone else. Christ did not cause suffering to cease, however. There is plenty of room left for Paul and for each of us in his time. Volume 4, page 484. Dr. Robertson says the term fill up means to fill up in turn. Paul's sufferings and afflictions were on behalf of the body of Christ, which is the church of the living God. Paul endured hardships, which many of us can only imagine. He wrote of glorying in tribulation, knowing that the tribulation works endurance. Romans 5:3. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.